Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lamas, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. On this lovely Sunday morning, this past week, alhamdulillah, we had some good rains, but it's not enough. We should make dua for more rains, inshallah. Allah make it easy for us. With all this tightening up of the water situation in South Africa, we should sincerely sit and make dua to the Almighty Allah. We should give out sadaqah. We should check that our zakat is all sorted out. Allah will send down the rains, inshallah. It's becoming dire. We really, really do need the water now. And we really need Allah to send us the water also. We beg on all, one and all, to please do that. It is very, very important. More so on the Globe Trotting Program, alhamdulillah, we've been now, as I said last week also, we've been coming towards the year end. All those that are writing exams, good luck to all of you. But also all the parents that are now preparing for the holidays while the children are studying and writing exams. The parents are now organizing the holidays, organizing the different destinations, checking out all the itineraries and so on. And all those that asked me for some itineraries, those that I couldn't reply to, please forgive me. I'm still busy with them. I've got just too many that I'm busy with, and to assist as many people as I can with some itineraries here. It's more of an idea that I give you. It's not hard and fast. That's what I probably know where to go, what to do, or if I know somebody that's just been in a certain country, I would then pass their number on to you. So you could also take assistance from them. If they had a good time, where they went, what they did, you could take some information from them. So that's what I do. I pass on information also. If any of you would like to be part of that, where you've been recently to and you find that it's a common destination, any of you don't mind, if you would like to contact me, give me some information. You can also mail me your itineraries. You can also mail me your experiences, and that will help others. I can share it with other listeners who call me. You can mail me on Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D, that's Mohammed, at globetrotting, G-L-O-B-E-T-R-O-T-T-I-N-G, Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. You can mail me anytime, please, if you don't mind. That will help us also. There's lots of people wanting to go to Turkey, I've seen, for December. Not so sure of what's the situation with weather like, if they can accept the cold weather. But if you have chosen it, and that's what you'd like, great. That'll be fantastic. I hope you really, really enjoy yourself. But there's many different destinations people are going to. I find lots of people going this year also to South America. Because of the Umrah situation, I think because of the visa, the pricing and so on, I find many people are looking to go to South America. That's also great. And then also there are lots of guys, lots of people that I've been discussing with going down to Australia. In fact, I just spoke to a group last week, Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, and there were a group of seven gentlemen. And they're going down to Australia, but they're spending 3.5 weeks there. They're just getting to Australia. And from there, they will see what they're going to do. They're probably going to hire a bus or something, a kumbi or something like that. And they're going to tour Australia over the 3.5 weeks. And I told them, if that's how you want to do it, I think 3.5 weeks is not enough. For the size of Australia, I think 3.5 weeks is not enough. You would definitely need more time. But anyway, be that as it may, people are limited with time. So if 3.5 weeks, if you can do as much as you can, good luck. And that is the way to do it. And that is an experience. That's what I love when it comes to adrenaline. Tourism, I would call it, where you do something where you build adrenaline, where you experience. It's not just the formal way of getting in from South Africa into the airport, from there to the next airport, from there for a taxi to a hotel. When you get to the hotel, you just stay inside. The porter takes your bags, put it in your room. If you can help it, you get the porter to open your bags for you. Even very formal. That's for some people that is a holiday, but I think a genuine holiday is where you just. You rough it up, and you do the extreme things, where you walk for kilometers on end. You know, there are so many experiences that we have when it comes to walking, finding places. That makes the journey even better for you, because what happens is there you can see more, you experience more, you learn more. You're just not in a vehicle driving around, or you're flying from city to city. No, do it the simple way, I would say, and that's when you'll enjoy yourself. Now, you know, It's something like now when it comes to this holiday also, your choice of holidays that you have, or your choice of destinations is, like I always say, north of the equator, south of the equator. Always judge that from our South African perspective. Because if you're looking at north and south, you're looking at weather-wise. If you're looking at December, you're looking at the south of the equator, or equatorial areas in south of the equator. And if you're looking at June, July, you're probably looking at above the equator, because we have our winters. So consider that always. And there are, in the Far East, you have good weathers. Middle East, you have good weathers also when it's our winter. When it's their winter also, you have good weathers. Our winter, their summer, it's extremely hot. But when it's their winter, you have good weather. So that is also another way of doing things. Now, today, we're going to a country that is it's massive and sparsely peopled. And it's sparsely peopled in size and it rivals the USA. Yet its population is just 20 million, plus minus. In an ancient land, and often looks it in places, it's the most eroded, denuded, and the driest of continents, with much of central and western part, the bulk of the country, overwhelmingly arid and flat. In contrast, its cities, most of which were founded as recent as the mid-19th century, express a youthful energy. The most memorable scenery is in the outback. The vast desert in the interior of the country, west of the Great Dividing Range, here, vivid blue skies, cinnamon-red earth, deserted gorges, and other striking geological features, as well as bizarre wildlife, comprised of a unique ecology, one that has played host to the oldest surviving human culture. This harsh interior has forced modern citizens to become a coastal country. Most of the population lives within 20 kilometers of the ocean. Now, that is fun. That's the way to live, occupying a suburban southeastern arc. These urban people celebrate the typical New World values of material self-improvement through hard work and hard play, with an easygoing vitality that visitors, especially Europeans, often find refreshingly hedonistic. A sunny climate also contributes to this exuberance, with an outdoor life in which a thriving beach culture and the congenial backyard barbie are central. And that place is no other than Australia. Now, many, many, many people love Australia, simply because it's very similar to South Africa. But from what I gathered and from what I've just mentioned to you now, it's strikingly powerful for a holiday. And to tell us more, we have none other than His Excellency, the High Commissioner of Australia himself, from Pretoria, who's taken time on this Sunday morning, which it is very difficult when it comes to high-profile guests to talk to us on a Sunday morning. I would like to welcome His Excellency, Mr. Ian Mozafi. Thank you very much for joining us.
Salaam alaikum, Mohammed. It's great to be on your show.
Salaam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. I really appreciate you taking time talking to us on this Sunday morning. It's been back and forth with us to get this appointment, but I really appreciate you coming on this Sunday morning talking to us. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure.
You're most welcome. Now, when I say Australia, many, many South Africans will identify with Australia, simply because of the weather, I would say, and to a certain extent, Australia has become, or Gauteng is now in Australia also, I would say.
Mm.
We find that. You know, there's many, many, many South Africans living in Australia because they can identify with Australia and South Africa as one. Is that so?
I think there are certainly many, many South Africans living in Australia. You're probably aware of the old jokes. People refer to Perth-toria or Perth-Fontein in particular. I think that's the city that has the largest concentration of South Africans. Sydney also has quite a significant South African community. What I find really interesting and pleasing is a lot of people almost build lives in both countries. They go backwards and forwards. Their knees are South Africans living in Australia or Australians living in South Africa. They're people whose lives basically span both countries, and I think that's an interesting development as well. But yes, I certainly think South Africans overall will find it a lot of the aspects of the environment familiar, and they'll certainly find it a very accommodating place to visit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we find many, many, what you just mentioned now, I know of a personal friend of mine, a Chinese guy, who's been in South Africa all his life with his children being born here as well. What happened was, I think about 10 years ago, he decided he's sending his wife and children across. They on that side, he's here. But every 2 weeks he flies across to Australia to meet the family. He stays with them for about a week and he comes back to South Africa to continue his business. And what you just said, that's exactly what is happening currently for what many people, I would say, to find them traveling back and forth. Although that flight, I can say it must be the most tiring flight to go from Johannesburg to Australia, come back. I think once or twice a month to do that, it must be really tiring. But, it's to be done, it's done. And that's the way it's done.
It's funny you should say that. The flights are, it's about an 8-9 hour flight time to Perth and about sort of 12 to 14 hours to Sydney, depending on which way the wind is going. I actually don't mind the Sydney to Johannesburg flight at all. From Sydney, it's all by day, and sometimes you even get to look at the icebergs if you're lucky, depending on how far south the flight goes. But, it's in a way, I know it's a cliche, but it's closer than you think in some ways. They're both direct flights. You just literally get on the plane in South Africa and get off in Australia in either Perth or Sydney. So I don't find it that wearing, but then I'm used to a lot of travelling, I suppose.
Yes. Now, talking of flights, you're saying you have a direct flight. Are there many flights during the week that are flying directly to Australia from South Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. So Qantas flies Sydney to Johannesburg daily, basically. From Australia, it's a morning flight out of Sydney, gets in here mid-afternoon. And from Johannesburg, OT, it's an overnight flight, leaves in the evening, sort of gets there the following early afternoon to Sydney. South African Airways flies daily Johannesburg to Perth. It's kind of a night flight in both directions, basically. Take off in the evening, land pretty much in the morning, or sort of midday in the case of Perth, going from Joburg to Perth. And from Perth back to Joburg, you take off about midnight and you land sort of 5 a.m. in the morning. Now, that is a tiring flight, I should say. I've done that a couple of times, that Perth to Joburg flight. You're pretty tired when you land.
I can imagine that one. But the thing is, the convenience of flying across, like you say, throughout the week you have daily flights, so that makes it so much convenient to fly across during the week also. And another most important thing, as far as visas are concerned for South Africans, can you just highlight us on the visa situation?
Yes, certainly, absolutely. Look, I think the main thing, it's very easy to get an Australian visa. You can do it all online. But the main thing is that you need to apply minimum 30 days in advance of when you're intending to travel. Our processing time is 30 days. All visitors to Australia do require a visa for entry. Typically, it's a three-month visa. As I said, you can apply for a visitor visa for tourism or business purposes online at www.border.gov.au. Or else through one of our four Australian visa application centres, and they're located in Johannesburg, Durban, Pretoria and Cape Town. I think the key thing to say here is it's easy to do, but you've got to leave yourself time. Anyone lodging a visa from South Africa is now also required to provide biometric information. That's a facial image and fingerprints. At one of those four Australian visa application centres across the country before their visa can be issued. Again, if you go to that website I mentioned before, www.border.gov.au, it includes a visa wizard tool, which will explain your best visa option. Or you can go to our website, www.southafrica.embassy.gov.au.
SouthAfrica.embassy.gov.au.
That's right.
Okay, so that'll be, and then the cost factor, the cost part of the visas?
It's not terribly expensive for a visitor visa at all. I don't have the exact cost to the front of my mind, but it's not very expensive.
Oh, perfect, not the problem. And then also your requirements, there's no technical requirements for example, car papers, house papers and so on, nothing like that?
No, the key thing to remember is that we have very rigorous customs and quarantine requirements that are needed to protect, as you mentioned before, our absolutely unique animals, in particular our flora and our fauna. You've got to be very, if in doubt, obviously sort of declare anything to the Australian customs and quarantine officials on arrival. But the bottom line is be careful bringing in food or any animal products, basically.
On the lighter side, talking of that, just watch Border Patrol and you'll shake in your pants.
That's exactly right. Watch Border Patrol and that will give you the worst case scenario. 99.99% of people coming in and out of Australia will never experience any of the things you see on that show, but that gives you some sense of it. But there's a serious point, which is our our animals in particular, Australia is almost an evolutionary cul-de-sac. When the great Gondwanaland continent broke off, we got the marsupials, but we didn't get the predators. That's why our marsupials have been able to survive, and the only place where marsupials like ours exist. But diseases that have evolved in the rest of the world would be devastating for them. So to keep that absolutely unique wildlife as it is, we have to be very strict on things coming in from other countries.
That's absolutely correct, yes. And then the population of the country currently stands at, that's across the board,
24 million. And it's interesting what you were saying before, Mohammed. We are a country of contrasts. I mean, you've got absolutely the image of us as the outback, and that's what many people immediately think of. We're also officially the most urbanised country on earth. I think in terms of the percentage of Australians who live in cities of a million or more people, it's the highest of any country in the world. Because you're right, I mean, most people live on the coastal fringe, and particularly in that southeastern arc where you get the really big cities of Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and of course Perth is over on the west coast. But they are all vibrant cities, and they are all also cities that have quite unique characters in their own right. I mean, Melbourne is a very different city to Sydney. I love them both. Brisbane is different again, so is Adelaide, so is Perth. And so there is an opportunity to experience both that vibrant urban life, but also to get into the great outback and to really get into the great and vast spaces that are quite unique.
Exactly. Our SMS line is open, 0727865520, if anybody would like to send an SMS. 0727865520. You may contact us on via SMS at any time. We will post your questions forward to His Excellency. Talking of traveling around in Australia, as you heard just previously, there's somebody that contacted me on Tuesday. He phoned me asking about Australia. Seven gentlemen getting to Australia without any booking or anything, and now getting into touring Australia on their own. And just a piece of advice for those type of travelers.
Yeah, certainly. Look, the options are plenty. In terms of our domestic carriers, Qantas, Jetstar, Virgin and Tiger Airways, flights go pretty much regularly from everywhere to everywhere. It's an easy country to drive in. It's left-hand drive, so that makes it easier for South African drivers. One thing to be aware of is we do enforce our road rules pretty strictly, including speed and drink driving. So, you know, to bear that in mind, that might come as a shock to some South Africans, but we're pretty strict on those things. I think another thing to stress, Mohammed, is that the major cities all have excellent public transport options. Trams, taxis, trains, buses, ferries, Uber, they're all there, and they're all pretty easy to use. So I think in terms of the actual physically getting around, South Africans will find that it's pretty easy to do. And in fact, there'll be some places in some of the cities, Sydney I'm thinking of in particular, and also Melbourne, where you might just find that it's easier not to have the hassle of a car and worry about parking and things. I mean, Melbourne has excellent tram services, and you might just find it better not to have a car in the cities. But when you're out on the open road, very easy driving.
All right, okay. Do you have any roads going, driving, is it advisable driving from Perth down to Sydney or flying across and then continue from there?
Well, just remember it's big. Even the cities that you think are close to one another are not that close in terms of drive time. So, you know, Sydney to Melbourne, for instance, it's still a good sort of 10, 11, 12-hour drive. So you might want to fly between the major cities. Each of the cities has sort of areas in the hinterland that are really worth seeing. So, you know, you might want to hire a car for that purpose. I mean, there's vineyards near to Sydney, Melbourne, and especially Adelaide. Sydney's got the Blue Mountains nearby. Adelaide's got some spectacular beaches and places, and Melbourne's got the Mornington Peninsula and then the Dandenong. So Within the cities themselves, you can get around, but probably if you want to have a look at those sort of areas that are within a 50-kilometre radius of those cities, you might want a car for that. But when you're talking about, unless you decide that the drive itself is the experience, we're talking big distances in terms of driving.
But I guess if it's such great distances, there's not much to do in between because you've got your major cities, which are so far apart, and in between you probably have small towns. But then it becomes monotonous when you're driving and you're watching the same thing because there's not so much of development as you're going along, as closer to the cities then.
I think that's true, except there's spectacular coastline. You know, the drive from Melbourne to Adelaide, for instance, includes the Great Ocean Road, which is truly spectacular coastline. The drive from Brisbane to Sydney is pretty much, you know, wall-to-wall beaches. You've got Byron Bay and those far northern New South Wales beaches. So it depends a little bit on taste, and it also depends, I suppose, on simply how much time you've got available. I mean, if you've got plenty of time, and Australia's very well set up for backpackers, for instance. If you are taking a couple of months, then maybe you will want to drive up and down that coastline and stop at a number of beaches along the way. We're very well set up across the board. I mean, high-end tourism we cater for, but also we've put a tremendous amount of effort into catering for the backpacker market, for the people who want to come, travel at relatively low cost, but travel for a long time, 3 months or 6 months. You know, we've got a network of hostels and low-cost tourism options, both in terms of transportation and then things you can do in places. So it's a cliche game, but we do cater for every budget and really for every sort of personal preference. If you want funky cities, we've got it. If you want world-class diving, we've got it. If you want the great outdoors, you know, we've got that as well.
All right, okay. We're already up on news time. We'll come back from news. We won't take any advertisements or anything. We'll continue right after the news, which is about in 3 or 4 minutes' time, I think. That would be better that we can finish up a little earlier. So we'll continue right after the news.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lamas, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globe Touching program on this Sunday morning, where we're talking to the Australian High Commissioner. We're talking about a place which many people love, and it's Australia. Our SMS line, as always, 072-786-5520. 072-786-5520. If you would like to ask anything, I have already started to receive the SMSs. I'll read them to the ambassador also. And let us see if we have any questions that you have. We can also close it, and let's put our mind at ease. And when it comes to holiday destinations, there's many different holiday destinations, but like I always say, choose the weather. Choose the time, because your timing is very, 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 very important. So when it comes to October, November, December, January, on the northern equator is the winters, and then vice versa. So if you're looking at a holiday destination, south of the equator during our summers, you have the whole of the South American continent, you have part of Africa from central down, then you have the Australia, which is on the right-hand side. So you do have all your different destinations which you can choose from. And then you have, obviously, other countries which you want to check the weather out. But there are some people who would prefer not cold, but cool weather, which is with temperatures of about 10 to 12, 15 degrees Celsius. Then you have the choice of going further up north. That's also a different way of doing it. We do have His Excellency online, Mr. Adam McCarthy. Thank you very much for coming back to us. And we are rushing out. That's why we just cut the advert short now. We're going to be talking until about 20 past 10, and then we'll cut from there. Thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday morning.
Oh, salam alaikum again, Mohammed. It's a pleasure.
Enough. Thank you very much. First of all, let's get into one SMS that I've just received. You've given us very interesting information before the news. One SMS that I just received, and this is a question which I get time and time again on every program of mine when it comes to interviews with different high commissioners and ambassadors. The first question is, the situation of halal and Muslims in your country. And that's the first question which I've got here. The situation of halal and Muslims in your country.
Sure. That's easily answered. Australia is officially, according to UN statistics, the most ethnically diverse country on earth. We have the largest single community is, I think, people of English descent which are about 20% and Irish about 19%. Then we have big communities of Italians, Greeks, Lebanese, Syrians, Chinese, Vietnamese, and all sorts of other communities. We have a big Islamic community, a big Muslim community in Australia. There are halal restaurants and places of worship in most major centres. We're very welcoming of Muslim travellers, and we've got resources available to assist visitors in planning their trip. In particular, there's a Muslim travel guide to Australia, which was developed by Halal Trip and Tourism Australia, and you can find it online at www.halaltrip, that's all one word, halaltrip.com. And you can also check out the Australian Tourism website, www.australia.com, and there's a tab there for Muslim-friendly holiday ideas. So you, when you come to Australia, you will find a vibrant multicultural country, but you will also find very significant Muslim communities in each of the major cities in particular. Plenty of options for halal and plenty of options for worship as well. So I think any Muslim who comes to Australia will find that that side of things is thoroughly well accommodated for.
Exactly, and I will second that because I've got a few friends who are in Australia, and they have also mentioned to me that the government is very supporting when it comes to the mosque building and so on. The only thing is the rules are very strict. They've got to abide by all the rules of putting up the mosque and where it must be put up, the location of the mosques and so on. Very important. But once it's all approved, you see they get lots of support from the government for putting up the mosque, and also with any assistance required regarding the mosque itself, they do get assistance. So that I will second, and I've got this information from authentic sources in Australia. So I thank you for that, and thank your government also for that.
Excellent. I'm glad. And I also think the awareness in Australia of consciousness of Islamic culture has also increased significantly over the last 20 years. The awareness of things like Ramadan, of the the need to do the Hajj once in a lifetime, those sorts of things are now much better understood. There's now usually celebrations in Australia, major community events at both the start and end of Ramadan. I think our own awareness for the rest of Australia has increased quite markedly as well.
Yes, I've just received an SMS here also that says, Assalamu alaikum, Mohammed. I just love Australia. It's so beautiful. And the Aussies are such wonderful people, and Qantas is the most convenient and accommodating areas. The visa cost per person's application is 1,500 rand.
Right.
Now, okay. We all get trained all the time, and genuinely so. That is why I always say when it comes to Australia, you will have the odd hiccup which you'll have throughout the world. But generally, it is Australians are accommodating when it comes to tourism. I believe that's what they look at most when it comes to anybody coming into the country. They look after those people.
Mm. Well, that's great to hear. I think it also reflects the fact, Mohammed, that there's a little bit of enlightened self-interest as well. I think we are a naturally welcoming and friendly people. But also, tourism is a major revenue earner for the Australian economy. Often it's our number one export to the world. It's always in our top three exports to the world. So I think the other thing to say about Australia is that there's an awareness that tourism is a very important industry for us, and that the concerns of the tourism industry are to be taken very seriously, and that, you know, being well set up for tourists and accommodating of tourists and people from overseas is not just something we do because, you know, we like to be welcoming, but also it's an important part of our economy.
Exactly, yes. Now, the most important thing before the news, you mentioned backpacking, tourism with backpacking and so on. Now, when it comes to backpacking, obviously, if you're offering backpacking, your hotel accommodations must be ranging from one star up to five star then.
Absolutely. Backpacker hostels are a big part of the Australian tourism scene. As I said, it is something that we've realised over the years that we don't just want to concentrate on the top end, that there is, of course, you know, for the industry itself, money to be made out of the top end, but we've also found that backpackers, because they come for a long period of time, 3 months or 6 months, they put a lot of money into the Australian economy, and so they're a big part of our tourism scene. Backpacker lodges are all over the country, There's also backpacker travel networks. I mean, coaches and things that are very reasonably priced, and all sorts of backpacker tourism options, especially in the adventure tourism field, the sorts of things that people want to do, for instance, if they're at Airlie Beach or up on the Great Barrier Reef, those sorts of places. So
yes,
it is something that we cater well to, including the fact that you can then, when time is less of a problem, there are coaches that run right across the country through the outback. I mean, Sydney to Perth is, I think, 2 to 3 days on a coach, but if you're backpacking and you've got 6 months, that in itself will be an experience. You'll see some of the most remote places on earth.
That must be lovely to do. I've just got an SMS that's coming here. I'm due to go to Australia in May next year, May 2017. What will the weather be like in May? And I'm going on the eastern side only. Is it advisable?
Well, a couple of things. Firstly, what will the weather be like in May? It depends where you are. One thing to be remembered is we're a continent. If you're only on the eastern side, in May in Melbourne could be, you know, pretty cold, or Tasmania very cold, but will be coolish. But, you know, if you're up on the Great Barrier Reef, that's pretty much coming into time, into prime tourism season. I mean, the temperatures are down from where they are in summer, which is extremely hot and humid.
Yes.
So it depends a little bit on where they are. I think I'll give you a snapshot. Sydney, May can be very pleasant. It can be temperatures in the low 20s, and very nice. Can be a little bit wet in Sydney. Melbourne, pretty much the same, perhaps a little bit colder. Brisbane, you're probably getting into a lovely time of the year to be in a place like Brisbane or up on the reef. That the sort of May, June, July, August is prime tourism season for the Barrier Reef, precisely because it is winter. And the temperatures are more manageable, and also the thing called the box jellyfish is not around in winter, which makes it a lot easier to swim on the beaches.
Okay.
So, you know, it really depends where you are. In terms of only going to the east coast, it's like anything. It just depends how much time you have. If you've only got a couple of weeks, I think there's probably some sense in restricting what you attempt to do and doing it properly. But Perth is a wonderful city, and there's some fantastic things to do on the west coast. But again, the distances are huge on the west coast. Broome is an amazing town. You see camels on the beach and the pearl diving industry. But going down to Mingaloo Reef, which is our coral, big coral reef on the west side, but they get fantastic whale sharks and the like. So, you know, the diving and the snorkeling is tremendous there. But you can't do it all, and especially in a country like Australia, where the distances are huge. I think if you've only got a couple of weeks to play with, you're best to bite off one part of the country, and save the west coast, or if it's the west coast, you do save the east coast, or, you know, if it's that southern quarter, that you do save the Great Barrier Reef and northern Queensland for another time.
And with the hospitality, you're sure to go back to do the other side then?
Absolutely. we'd certainly like to think that one trip is barely enough once you get into that Australian way of life start to see all of the things that we've got to offer. I mean, another thing I should mention is the food is terrific. And the food's terrific because, you know, we don't have, per se, an emblematic Australian national cuisine. Our cuisine is the best of the rest of the world because we are such a multicultural country.
Exactly.
Sydney, you can eat, you know, absolutely fantastic Korean, Japanese, Italian, Greek. Our coffee culture is effectively Italian coffee culture. You can eat Ethiopian, you can have whatever you like, terrific Thai, I mean, and terrific Vietnamese restaurants. So the food is an important part of it. I mean, I'm not a serious foodie, but people who are always say that Australia is one of the best destinations, food and wine-wise, that you can go anywhere in the world.
I've just got another SMS here. It sounds so terrific. I am emigrating to Australia in December. All my stuff is done already, and I'm looking forward to the emigration. And after listening to this program, I'm looking even more forward to it. Oh, wow, man, congratulations. So it's something which people look forward to. When we look at a certain destination, many a time we'll find when we talk of certain destinations. It's hospitality, first of all, the hospitality and the convenience of travel in that country. That's what the people look at. That when you get there, you obviously want to see the smiling face, you want to see the people helping you wherever you are, and secondly, you want to see the ease of travel in any country. That's what attracts many, many people, and I think Australia has that to offer them.
It's lovely of you to say that, Mohammed, and I would agree. I mean, people are always nice to you when it's your country, but I can't remember hearing many people say I went to Australia and I regretted it. I can't remember anyone saying that. I mean, the consistent themes you get are such extraordinary things to see, both in terms of landscapes and animals and flora. But also, you know, terrific food, great people, laid-back culture, relaxing place to be. Those are the sorts of themes that you hear again and again from people who've gone to Australia. And also, you know, just the logistics. As I said, it's a major industry for us. It's one of our top couple of export earners, and it's an important thing for us. So we're well set up. You know, it's well organised and well done. And even to the extent, as I said, you know, online we have a Muslim travel guide to Australia. You know, shows that all the options are explored and everyone is encouraged.
Exactly. And just to relate an incident before we get off, we're already out of time. I just want to relate an incident of a personal friend of mine, a school friend who's now migrated to Australia in 1999, and he's in Brisbane at the moment. And about eight or nine months ago, he was telling me, he says, they went away for the weekend. Friday evening they went away to come back on a Sunday. And they had to move the cars and they had to do what they had to do. And when they left, they were already on the way to the destination where they were going to go for the weekend. And he asks his son, the car you left in the driveway, where did you leave the keys? He said, oh, then I left the keys in the car. Now, with us, typical South Africans, we would run back and say we need to sort that out, or we've called the neighbors and so on. He said, okay, we'll see what happens when we come back on Sunday. When they got back on Sunday, the car was in the driveway and the keys were in the car. And they took the keys out, they locked the car and they went into the house. Now, that was shocking news to me, I would say.
It's certainly the security environment is different, and it's relatively. I mean, you know, everywhere's got some crime, but relatively speaking, crime statistics are
very
certainly
low.
A lot lower than here, and it's certainly an easier place to walk around. Well, there's no question. I mean, walking around the big Australian cities is especially the country towns, it's an easy thing to do, and a safe thing to do. So that is one of the nice things about it. You can stroll Sydney, you can stroll Melbourne pretty much any time of the day and or night, and you can go down to the beaches. You know, very, very little crime on the beaches. So it is one of the nice things about it. It's a very relaxing place to be.
Exactly. We are already out of time. In fact, I would have loved to talk to you more about Australia. There's so much more questions that I have. There's lots of questions that I would like to ask you, but we are already out of time. We're going to have a live outside podcast coming to you. They're just busy getting things organized. There's a live outside podcast. That's why we're rushing out of it at the moment. And we had to then shove everything for, well, we our timing has been perfect. Just a little bit longer would have been a bit better. But not a problem. What I would do is, over time, I will probably call you back in again and let's just talk further about Australia, because we are receiving SMSs already. I've got a few SMSs regarding visas and so on, but I'll answer those questions. Is there anything also? Is it okay if I give the High Commission's the number to the listeners if they've got any pertinent questions?
Sure. The website, I think I gave you, www.southafrica.embassy.gov.au, and we'll look forward to fielding those, and I'd also very much look forward to being on the show again.
Thank you very
much. Happy to resume this conversation at another point, Mohammed. So delighted to come back on sometime.
I really, really appreciate it, and thank you very much for joining us. In fact, I've got your CV in front of me, a very interesting CV. I couldn't even talk about your CV, but that will be left for another time. We'll talk about your CV. And more so, we'll talk about Australia and tantalize the people's taste buds of going to Australia. That's what we want to do.
Fantastic. Afwan and Alaikum Salaam.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That was His Excellency Mr. Adam McCarthy, the High Commissioner of Australia to South Africa. And very interesting knowing about Australia and also the tourism that can be done and tourism of Australia. Excellent, excellent. Believe me, we haven't touched on it as yet. It is excellent. We will talk. I will definitely pull him back online again sometime, and we will talk to him again. Inshallah, we do have to rush off because of the outside podcast. Also from myself, Mohammed Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.